This segment is devoted to candidates running for Kansas House Districts 51, 64, 66, and 67. The candidate for House District 51 is Republican Ron Hyland. Candidates for House District 64 are Susie Carlson, Republican, and Jim Batar, Democrat. The candidate for House District 66 is Sidney Carlin, Democrat. And the candidates for House District 67 are Cheryl Arthur, Democrat, and Mike Dodson, Republican. As before, we will begin with a 2-minute opening statement from each candidate. And after opening statements, I will ask at least 4 questions, 2 from the league and 2 or 3 submitted in advance by committee or by the audience. Candidates will have 1.5 minutes to answer these questions. And then the segment will conclude with each candidate giving a 2-minute closing statement. So for opening statements, let's start in the order of the districts numerically. So we will start with Representative Ron Hyland from District 51.
Thank you. Thank you for holding this forum so that the audience can get more familiar with the candidates. Brief introduction, I represent District 51, which essentially runs from Tuttle Creek Dam down to just north of Emporia. So all are part of 5 counties to include Riley County. The big issues for the next 2 years will be, number one will be the budget. If you've been following it at all, we have been seeing an increase in revenues. And I am wondering if that is real or if it's inflated because of all the federal monies that have been coming into the state. We will see after the first of the year when the money stops. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm wondering if the bottom's going to fall out next year. Redistricting will be the other big issue. And you've been hearing more and more about that lately. But what happens, it's like a bill. We in the legislature, both Senate and the House, we will come up with our version of what we think redistricting should be, and that will be forwarded to the governor for signature. If she vetoes that, then we may be in a situation like we were 10 years ago, where the courts will have to decide. I hope that does not happen. So with that, that's my brief introduction.
Thank you. Now on to House District 64 candidates, Susie Carlson.
Okay, sorry, I had a hard time getting it to unmute, but my name is Susie Carlson. I am the representative for House District 64. That includes all of Clay County and the very western part of Riley County, which extends from around the airport clear up through the town of Randolph. I've enjoyed my first term in the House and look forward to returning. Last year was a bit disappointing because we had to leave due to the COVID early. And we had a lot of projects and a lot of good bills that we wanted to carry through with, and we were unable to because we were sent home early. I think this next session is going to be very important to have experience going on to this coming session. It's been a tough year, and I think there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to work through in the coming session. And I was on the Children and Seniors Committee, the Social Services Budget Committee, and also on the Financial Institution and Pensions. And then this summer, I have been appointed to an interim committee for foster care oversight, which I'll be attending on Tuesday and Wednesday in Topeka this next week, which is a very important meeting. We will listen to more testimony on Tuesday, and then we will have to make our recommendations for foster care in the next day. So I feel very strongly about the issues. I feel very strongly about our smaller towns, our rural health, our rural broadband, and look forward to coming back and fighting hard to ensure that everyone is taken care of in all of those places. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Bathar.
First, I want to thank the sponsors for hosting this event so voters can hear those from wanting to represent them in Topeka. My name is Jim Vadauer, and I'm running for the 64th District House seat. I am a fourth-generation Kansas farmer and small business owner. I'm running to be a voice for farmers, livestock producers, and workers in the state. We need a representative focused on their needs, not just those of corporate interest or demands of party leadership. I will be fighting every day for Medicaid expansion, transparent government, fiscal responsibility, and fixing our state agencies. Too many years saw political games with roads and school funding and left the Department of Children and Families underfunded and understaffed. During the COVID pandemic that harmed people's lives and wallets, we had a legislature that took a break, allowing unilateral executive control and refused an up and down vote on Medicaid expansion. When they returned, they bickered and complained. They forced through votes in midnight sessions with bills written at 3 a.m., rammed through on party lines. This is not how Kansans should be treated. I will be working for common sense, bipartisan solutions to problems in the state. We need to be focused on the needs of people, not political-driven experiments and endless talking. I hope this hour will be real discussion for the future of Kansas, its roads, schools, economy, and farms. We need real ideas for economic growth. The 64th district needs an advocate. And I hope November the people will vote for me for the next.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, and so next we will go to House District 66 candidate, Sydney Carlin. Oh, Sydney, unmute, please.
Darn it. I want to thank you for your patience today. It's been an exhausting day for you, I'm sure. And thank the community for listening in to this every election year. The League, the AAUW, the Chamber of Commerce, and the radio station go together to produce this forum, and I really appreciate it. I have roughly half of Manhattan and a little piece of rural Pottawatomie County. And I broke into political science as an activist on a local issue. I served on the city commission from 93 to 97, one term as mayor. Then I finished my degree at K-State and ran for the House of Representatives in 2002. I've served 9 terms in the Kansas House. I serve on House Appropriations Committee, where we distribute the budget money and make cuts when necessary. We set priorities based on what we hear from our committee work and what we hear from the public. I am the ranking member on the House Ag and Natural Resources Budget Committee, which reviews 14 agency budgets and supports or cuts those budgets as they are presented to us. Though some of the budgets we do are KDHE Environment, Department of Commerce, Department of Agriculture, Department of Water, credit unions, banking, cosmetology, barbering, and wildlife and parks, to just name a few. I also am the ranking member on the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, where we deal with water issues and crop issues and farming issues around the state. And I appreciate your attention and your input on these issues. I try to communicate everything through newsletters to the public so they can come and present to our committees. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we will go to candidates for House District 67. Mike Dotson, I will let you go first.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the League of Women Voters and also appreciate KMAN and appreciate all those who are interested in the political issues for listening to us today. My model for this really is my mom and dad. They gave community service as long as I can remember while I was growing up. I was in the Army for 37 years, and obviously in the Army, you don't get a chance for very much community service due to the number of moves you have. But once I had retired from the Army and then retired from Bechtel Corporation, I came back to Manhattan and was asked if I was willing to serve. I was fortunate enough to be elected to the commission and then served 1 year as mayor. Also was the head of the law board while I was serving. Some of the things that I believe in that I think are essential for Kansas right now, probably three things are on my top of mind. One is that we've got to expand the number of businesses we have in Kansas. That does two things. It helps keep our young people here. It also helps reduce the tax burden by bringing in additional revenue to the state. Also think we've got a lot of work to do to preserve the education. We have a terrific reputation in the state of Kansas for offering high quality education. Additionally, I would say that we've got to make sure that all of our municipalities, not just our state, are prepared for emergencies. This pandemic was a little bit different, but nonetheless, we've got to stockpile as much of those common items as we possibly can. I would say that for everyone listening, I'm an optimist. I'm also look forward. I'm a good planner, but I'm also a realist. I want to make sure that while I keep the goals in mind, we do those kinds of things that are realistic to get us forward. I look forward to, if fortunate enough to be elected, look forward to reaching.
Thank you, Mike Dodson. Cheryl Arthur, your 2-minute opening statement, please.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Arthur, and I'm running for the House of Representatives for District 67. A little bit about myself. My hometown is Springfield, Missouri, but I've lived in Kansas since 1997, and I've lived in Manhattan since 2002. I'm a retired high school teacher, coach, and administrator, so I have pretty good problem-solving skills. I also have a low tolerance for the lack of civility and kindness that I'm seeing in politics at all levels of government. I really think we need to start being civil and show some kindness to each other so that we can work together to move Kansas forward. As a teacher and administrator on a daily basis, I helped families and their kids to learn and to grow in a safe and healthy environment. There are a lot of issues facing Kansas legislature right now, but providing a safe and healthy environment for economic growth really needs to be our number one priority. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to start with our first question, and I'm going to ask the questions. We will always rotate who has to go first. So this first question, I'm going to start with Susie Carlson. And the question is, does Kansas need Medicare expansion? If no, why not? And if yes, why?
Kansas definitely needs Medicaid expansion. There's so many people that are in the middle. And a lot of people think that Medicaid expansion is just for the people that don't want to work. And that's so not true. Medicaid expansion is for the working poor. It is to cover people and families that have two parents that are working, maybe not high paid jobs, and they've got two children. They're not in the poverty level, so they don't qualify for different medical plans, but they don't make enough money to be able to afford medical insurance. I think it's tremendously important. It will bring revenue into our state. Plus, the smaller hospitals are not able to make it. They're closing, and that doesn't help any of our communities or our rural revitalization plans. We absolutely need the Medicaid expansion to bring dollars into Kansas and to help keep our people and our children and our elderly covered so that they can all receive the treatment that everyone should have and that they deserve. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim.
A vote for Jim Vatter is a vote for Medicaid expansion. Others have flipped and flopped on this issue, but on day one, I will introduce a bill introducing the bipartisan Denning-Kelly plan. It will help over 130,000 low-income working Kansas gain coverage, including hundreds in the 64th district. These are individuals left in the ACA coverage gap. It is mean, unchristian to deny working Kansans health care. It will help our rural hospitals remain open. Six rural hospitals have closed in Kansas, directly tied to the lack of expansion. Clay Center Hospitals must raise hundreds of thousands of dollars each year for charity care, which will end when expansion passes. Administrators' focus will be on healthcare, not fundraising. It will provide mental health relief for people fearing medical bankruptcies. In 2019, a Kansas State professor released his studies on expansion being an economic and job multiplier. Kansas taxpayers have sent $4 billion to D.C. without nothing to show for it. Look up your representatives' records. See if their votes match their words.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. That was time. Thank you. Sydney Carlin.
Yeah, Kansas is an island in the middle of the United States. Every state around us has passed Medicaid expansion. Missouri, Oklahoma, and Nebraska all put it to a public referendum. I'm not sure if Colorado got it that way, but I do know they have public referendum. We do not have that in Kansas. And so the people have to work through legislators to get their bills passed. And that can work as long as a legislator will support that community and vote the way the community wants them to. The public is very supportive of Medicaid's expansion. And $4.2 billion is sitting in Washington, D.C. that should be in Kansas' hands. I was aghast when I was at a conference, national conference, when I got the news that our governor in 2010, Brownback, had sent the check back to the federal government and refused the money. Then he turned around and made it so that we had to vote it in as a legislature or it wouldn't pass. So that's why it's in the legislators' hands. If it wasn't for that action and his 97 people that he brought in with him, we wouldn't be so out of balance. There's 262,000 uninsured Kansans right now. And 43,000 of those are children. And our district, District 1, has almost 6% uninsured children. And they are we are the highest in the state.
Thank you. Mike Dodson.
Yeah, when you look around today, I know my time on the commission and as mayor, we've got a lot of people who are suffering. As Sydney said, as you look around the nation, we're one of the few that hasn't passed this. We, as Kansans, send over $8 billion a year in our tax money up to Washington. We have foregone over $4 billion that could have gone to help these people who are in dire need of health care, the people that kind of fall in this gap. Also, if you talk to our local hospital, Bob Koppel will tell you that not only do we have to keep this hospital viable, but the hospitals that they support, most of the rural hospitals around us also get support from our hospital here. So this goes to help those in greatest need. I would also say that for those who think that the feds are going to pull the money, that almost never happens, particularly on something that is important to the health of all Americans. So the Kansas budget's in a difficult position. We need to get all the help we can.
Thank you. Cheryl Arthur.
Thank you. Wow. So much has been said and all of it true. It's hard to come up with something to add to that other than to say that for me, Medicaid expansion is a no-brainer. And in fact, if we don't pass this, it is literally mean-spirited because the money is there and we need to bring it to Kansas. If it doesn't go to Kansas, it's going to someplace else. And we might as well support our citizens who are in that unfortunate gap that they make too much money, which is hard to believe, that they can't get afford health care, and for those who simply cannot cover it themselves. As for the impact on rural hospitals, 26% of Kansans live in rural districts, and yet less than 10% of doctors practice medicine in rural districts. We need to look at a way to incentivize through early intervention in terms of helping them with the healthcare, their schooling. We need to get kids involved early on in mentoring and internship programs, but our rural health districts need some help. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ron Hyland.
Just so everybody understands, this is not a big kumbaya moment. I voted against and will continue to vote against until there is more substantial data in this area. If we're honest with the people of Kansas, the amount that this will cost them is unbelievable at this point. And then we have to add to that what is going to happen next year when the federal money stops coming in and we actually see the effect of this, what the COVID crisis has done in our state. Financially, it's not something I can support right now. There is not enough evidence, both financially and the need. We can do many things in our state. We need to get off and take care of some of those things. Our KDHE and other groups within the state need to start working on this dutifully and carefully and do a good job. Right now, it's the money situation, and bad management cannot be covered up with more money. So with that, I will end.
Okay, thank you. For our second question, I will start with Jim Batauer to answer first, and then we'll go through the rotation. Our society is being polarized by uncivil speech. How will you model and promote constructive, inclusive politics in your work with colleagues and the public?
'20 saw COVID, but we also saw a rise in racial and motivation killings and protests. 90 seconds is not near enough time for political response, but the Capitol building has two amazing murals, one for John Brown and one for Brown versus Board of Education decision. Many talk about them, but then failed to support an anti-discrimination bill. I will work to pass laws that end discrimination in our workplace, in our housing, in our voting rights, and for criminal justice reform. I am a father of a gay child, and I am an uncle of multiracial nephews. My friends have multiracial children and grandchildren. I understand these issues involved with discrimination. It is not acceptable. When my hometown was vandalized with white supremacy, ideology, and symbols, I did not stand back. I did not just talk. My family and I were among the first to show up and help friends and neighbors with total strangers scrub the harmful graffiti from the buildings. I will be an elected official, ready to roll up my sleeves and get ready to work, not just talk and do nothing.
Thank you. Sydney Carlin.
Thank you. Civility is, it took a turn in 2010. I had been in the House for 6 years, and when I walked in the building with the new crowd that was elected in 2010, it just didn't feel the same. There was a lot of arrogance and a lot of proud indignancy, I would say. This year, starting in January, we had a caucus that we came together and actually met and had dinners together and talked and had presentations on civility, the old methods of bringing everybody to the front to talk about their issues with each other. It actually brought together about 40 to 50 people out of the 165. A lot of people are civil that didn't, you know, in a routine way and did not feel they needed to come. And some others came just to see who was there. And some others really work hard at getting along with each other in the Capitol. Time's going fast. I'm really proud of my record in Topeka, and I would not have been able to accomplish some very exciting bills that have passed had it not been for my ability to get in and work with everyone in the room. On the False Claims Against the State Act, which took 5 years to get through, I met with every member of the Senate and every member of the House to explain my concerns and what the bill would do. I've passed many bills in that manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Sydney. Mike Dodson.
Thanks. Well, for 37 years in the Army, I found it important to be as inclusive as possible. You know, the Army is built on teamwork, and if you can't bring people together, you're left to make decisions by yourself, and that's never a smart thing to do. My ability, I think, was evident to most folks when they watched the City Commission and my time as mayor. We tried to practice civility up there on the dais and include as many people as we could, allow people to be heard. I think the recent issue, we have to have an idea of what the goals are for what people would like to see us do. Also have to have some objectives. You know, not much gets done if you just run around yelling. You've got to have an agenda. You've got to know where to look, such as Kansas statutes and your municipal ordinances. Not much will get done without the change happening at those levels. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl Arthur.
Thank you. As I said in my opening statement, one of the things that has been a consistent message in all of the canvassing that I've been out doing, trying to talk to as many people in the district as I can, there have been, I could count on less than one hand, the number of times that people have been rude or, just rude. When I've been out canvassing. And so what that tells me is that overwhelmingly, even though I was talking to Republicans, unaffiliates, Democrats who vote and Democrats who don't vote, they were all civil and they wanted to listen and they wanted to learn and tell me what their issues were in the state of Kansas. And I guess to me that says that we really do. I know it's an easy word to just say, but we really do need to learn to work together, and Kansans can do that. We can, and we must. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron Hyland.
Thank you. And for me, it's fairly simple. I live my life according to the teachings that are taught in the Bible. And from that, I run my committee the same way. I'm chairman of the Ag Committee and Rules and Regs, and I listen to everyone. Representative Carlin is the ranking member on that committee, and we get along fine, and I'm inclusive to everybody in the committee. And when we're running bills across the floor, it's a civil affair. In fact, if you come down front and you are uncivil or you're angry, you will have lost the battle at that point. It does not work. It will not work. And I think everybody at the Capitol understands that. There may be a few outliers that do not, and they will remain outliers. They will not be able to get anything done. Now, as far as out in the public, I've had no problems, maybe one or two. people that were rude, as the previous speaker said, but that's part of this business. It's getting worse, and we understand that, and we are all hoping for the day when it gets better. But live your life the best you can and treat everybody as equals, and it seems to work out pretty well. Thank you.
Thank you. Susie Carlson.
Thank you. Before going into the legislature, I was a municipal judge for 21 years. It was important to be impartial. It was important to listen to both sides and then try and make a decision. And the civil discourse was so important. And it always amazed me how you could have two attorneys arguing different sides and it would get pretty heated. But when court was adjourned and they walked out, they're walking out talking about when they were going to play golf next. They fought for different sides. They believed different things, but they didn't hold that against each other. And I think that's how we need to be. There's not one side, one political party, one anything that can be 100% right all the time. And if we don't have the ability to listen to everyone and make sure that maybe their ideas are better or that we can blend them together, then I just think it's so important. There was a great book called Tip and the Gipper. It was about Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan. It was talked about when politics worked. They fought on the House floor, and then they had cigars together that night. People can do that. We can be friends. We don't have to be hostile. Nothing can get done in a hostile environment. So I have many friends that are Democrat, and I hope they feel the same way. Thank you.
Thank you. On to our next question. And Sydney Carlin, you will get to field this one first. With regard to the pandemic, do you agree with Governor Kelly's decisions and or those of the Kansas Legislative Coordinating Council? Why or why not?
This has been an extremely challenging experience for any governor in any state. I think our governor has done a fantastic job. I do agree with what she has done, and I do agree with the reasons that she has decided to do what she's done. The Legislative Council, I think, were a little more afraid than they needed to be, but in order to work with them, the governor has conceded a lot of issues that they wanted. So what we have now is we have an extension of the emergency powers that was decided to till January of 21, which is coming right up. And at that point, then we're going to look at the law again. We will be back in session. Some wanted to take more power away from the governor already. And the reason they didn't in the last session, executive session with them, was because the courts had pointed out that they were going to be forced to let people out of jail without their trials and criminals that we, you know, were holding if we didn't have a successful extension of her powers to extend those speedy court dates out. And that was the only reason that she was able to continue with the powers she has. Someone has to run the state.
Thank you. Mike Dodson.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we were all in this together when we first started. So there's a lot of things we didn't know. But, you know, you have to give credit for the governor who stepped up to do what she thought was best. Unfortunately, most of the states were basically on their own. You know, when you hunted around for PPE, when you tried to find ventilators, all of those kinds of things, there was not much help coming. And I think overall, the state's done a really good job at finding production inside the state, finding avenues to get supplies in, using things like the bio lab here in Manhattan to help produce some of these materials. But, you know, the hindsight now is 2020. So what we may know going forward will really serve us better. And that is that in many cases, we could probably do masking and still keep our businesses open, with the possible exception of bars where people just don't pay very good attention. I think going forward, as Sydney has commented on, one of the things we have to do is differentiate between the kinds of emergencies that come about as a result of a tornado and these longer lasting things where there's probably a role for more participation in the legislature. The problem there, of course, is the legislature is not in session all the time. So a whole mechanism has to be created to help the governor. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl Arthur.
Okay, sorry. I agree with both what Sydney and my opponent, Mr. Dobson, are saying. Governor Kelly and Dr. Norman did a tremendous job, especially early on when there was almost no guidance from the federal level. I do appreciate that her focus has been on science and health and safety of all of the citizens of Kansas, and yet she allowed local entities to do what was best based on the data in their localities. And that has shown to be pretty effective, although right now we're still having hot spots in schools, especially universities, nursing homes, and correctional facilities. Those are still key areas that need the state's guidance to keep the infection down. But I think that the governor and Kelly and Dr. Norman did a wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron Hyland.
Thank you. This situation, which I think of this as being a legislator and three branches of government. And I think a lot of the decisions that have been made should have been made with the advice and consent and use of all the minds we have in the legislature. We should have been called back in. We should have dealt with this as a legislature and the executive office together. There's information I have requested and they would not give to me. So I'm a little bit put off by what has happened. I do like the idea that it was turned over to the local counties and municipalities to decide how severe they need to be put their situation into. And it's been mentioned before, the actual law that is dictating this right now needs to be reworked because whether it's a short-term or long-term emergency, and that is ongoing right now. There is a special judiciary committee working on that. At some point, we will have to deal with this in a different way. We are looking at the veterinary pandemic laws and outbreaks right now because that's kind of the model that we're looking at for advice in the future. And at some point, we will come to an agreement and deal with it as a group, as a legislature and the executive branch. Thank you.
Thank you. Susie Carlson.
Thank you. There's no manual on how to deal with a pandemic. This has been new to everyone. I do not feel like our governor has done a poor job. How do you know? I mean, it's like walking through a new fallen snow. There was nothing to follow. All you could do is leave your footprints. And as far as the businesses that were closed, I do feel like some of that was not necessary, but we didn't know. You have to give credit for people doing what they feel is best on what knowledge that they are given. And there may be a better way to do some of these things, but that's what we have to look at going forward, is how to handle these things. I do feel like it shouldn't be up to just one person to make the decisions. It does take more than that. And that's going to be talked about in the future, how we're going to do these things and how it's going to be planned. But I feel happy, too, that the local people had better chances to decide their things. But overall, I do not feel like the governor did a poor job. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Bethar.
The Kansas response to COVID has been mediocre. The legislature chose to recess, allowing the governor sole control of the economic and health system of the state, then returned and complained about actions done in their absence. During a crisis, I believe people would have preferred elected officials work, not take a break. I would have stayed and worked for compromise instead of leaving town. Facts and science are the only way out of this problem. More information, not less. The legislature passed laws limiting the role of contact tracing. I would have voted against this policy. It concerns me for the next outbreak. At last year's Ag Summit, there was a discussion about livestock outbreak exercises. Yet this year, there were politically driven games on the Kansas Emergency Management Act. Will there be more? If a livestock outbreak occurs, will farmers be forced to suffer while their herds die? Do you want to play games? If there was an outbreak of African swine flu, or are we going to be slow in limiting transmissions and diseases from farm to farm? We need to be ready to come together, listen, and share information and facts. Thank you.
Thank you.